Our study this morning is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 5 through 24, handling interpersonal conflicts in ministry. The people Paul discipled in Corinth lived in a city that was known for its immorality, its alcoholism, and worldly pursuits. So the formidable influence of the city's culture on the Corinthian believers left Paul addressing aberrant beliefs and practices of an astonishing variety in his letters to them. However, in a vision that Paul received from God as he ministered at Corinth in Acts 18:10, God told him, "I have many people in this city." So Paul was to keep on ministering regardless of the trials that he faced there. Since the local church functions in a spiritual war zone, according to the parables of Matthew 13:1-52, personal conflicts between God's messengers, between God's people, and between believers and the world are to be expected. Paul faced several such conflicts as reported in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 5 through 24. So we view them for our insight and our edification. I'd like to start with a word of prayer and then we'll get into the word. Father, we thank you for the privilege that you have granted us to be able to meet together this morning. We thank you for the liberty that we have to meet and to meet with openness. We'd ask for wisdom to utilize the ministries of the Spirit of God, of illuminating the Word of God to us, of equipping us to understand it and then to live it, that we might take advantage of the freedom that we have to obey the Word of God for blessing. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. What I'd like to do is to read the verses and then we'll look at them. 1 Corinthians 16, 5 through 24. "Now I will come to you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I pass through Macedonia. And it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that you may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now, by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he works also the work of the Lord, as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brothers, but his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenience time. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it was the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helps with us and labors. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaeus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet you one another with an holy kiss. The salutation of me, Paul, with my own hand. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema," Maranatha. "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen." Okay, Paul alluded to five different kinds of interpersonal conflicts in the ministry in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 5 through 22. So there is conflict in ministry. First of all, he mentioned that he faced conflict with the godless world in his ministry, verses 5 through 9. After informing his readers of his travel plans, the Lord permitted, in verses 5 through 7, Paul announced that he would continue to minister at Ephesus until the Hebrew feast of Pentecost. And, of course, that comes up in the spring of the year, 1 Corinthians 5:8, actually in the early summer. His reason for remaining in Ephesus was for some time was twofold: that a wide door for effective work had opened up for him and that there were many adversaries. These adversaries likely included unsaved idol makers whose business was threatened by Paul's evangelistic ministry there in Ephesus, where he was writing, according to Acts 19, 23 to 41. And Paul wanted to strengthen believers there against such foes. So there is a conflict that we have at times with the unsaved world that is around us. That's by nature, because we're standing for Christ and the world around us is under Satan's control, according to 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. Well, Paul also alluded to a conflict between believers at Corinth and a young minister by the name of Timothy. This is verses 10 and 11. The apostle directed his readers to put Timothy at ease when he came to them, reminding them that Timothy did the same work as Paul. The reason for this was Paul was more formidable. He had more of an authoritarian presentation. Timothy was a younger man, not as respected sociologically because he was younger. And also, Timothy might have been more mild in his demeanor. And so people had a tendency to walk all over him. Well, no one was supposed to despise Timothy, but to help him on his way to Paul with other believers who were coming. So that was another type of a conflict. A third conflict, as mentioned, between himself and Apollos, another leader in the early church. You'll remember it in Acts chapter 19. Apollos, in Acts 18 and 19, Apollos had a tremendous oratorical presentation. He was probably a far better speaker than Paul. He was sort of like the Billy Graham of his day. He had tremendous stage presence. He didn't have as much of a theological background as the Apostle Paul, but he could really bring the word. And so he was sort of a dominant character as well. Well, the Apostle Paul had strongly urged Apollos to visit his readers at Corinth with the other brothers. But contrary to Paul's urging, Apollos did not at all want to visit at that time. I can imagine a discussion between Paul, who's a strong-willed person, and Apollos, another strong-willed person, and they had a very strong disagreement. No, no way. I'm not going to go there now. Paul says, you got to go there. No, no way. And you can just see this going on back and forth. So Paul wrote that Apollos would come to Corinth when he had opportunity to do so. And then fourth, Paul sought to avoid a possible conflict within the church between fellow believers. He urged his readers to subject themselves to the household of Stephanas, since they were the first converts to Christ in Achaia, and because of their devotion to the service of the saints. It's interesting, Paul also mentions a lady by the name of Phoebe in the book of Romans. She was a servant. The word deaconess is used, but the word deaconess actually means a female servant rather than an office. But she was completely committed to the work of the Lord and to helping people. So Paul said, whenever you've got someone in your congregation who is really dedicated to working, work with those people because they're a tremendous asset. And so was the household of Stephanas. So Paul directed his readers to be subject to every fellow worker and laborer. In other words, if there's someone who's really committed to serving the Lord and helping the Lord, give them room, because they're an asset and they can be used by the Lord very powerfully in that context. And then number five, Paul ordered his readers to expel from their church all apostates. That's verse 22. If anyone had no love for the Lord, he was to be anathema. Now the word anathema actually means devoted to destruction in Aramaic, and that's a term that Paul would use. He picked that up, and a lot of the Jews still spoke Aramaic at that time. And that was accompanied by excommunication. That is, when they removed a person from the church, either for presenting a false gospel or hating Christ or something, they would pronounce them with the use of the word anathema over them, that they were to be excommunicated. And these are unsaved denouncers of Christ, apostates. We're supposed to remove them from the church. Unfortunately, that's what happens. You'll have people who come up through the ranks. They'll be in the church, but they're not believers in Christ at all. And all of a sudden, it becomes apparent that they don't want anything to do with Jesus Christ. They don't believe in him. They don't believe he existed, perhaps, or that he's certainly not God. And that's an apostate, a person who has come close to the truth, but he's turned his back on it. He never has accepted Christ as a Savior. And because of the danger of people like that to new converts in the church is supposed to remove them from the fellowship. So you got five different groups of people: conflict between the godless world and the apostle, conflict between believers at Corinth and a young minister, conflict between Christian leaders, conflict between believers within the church, and then conflict with apostates who come up through the ranks. So Paul also taught his readers the proper actions in addressing these conflicts. He did this in verses 13 and 14, 17 to 21, and 23 to 24. In fact, he sprinkled this information in amongst his discussion about the context, about these conflicts. So it's obvious that Paul was trying to use this information as a guide as to how to handle these conflicts. First of all, he urged his readers to conduct themselves with spiritual sturdiness in the faith, verse 13. The apostle told his readers to be watchful, to stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Now, watchfulness refers to watching for angelic conflicts. We know this in Ephesians 6, 10 to 12, where Paul says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies." And then in verse 18, he ends that section by talking about watching, being very careful. This emphasis on watching for satanic activity actually began by the Lord Jesus Christ. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was praying, and he had already predicted that Satan was, this is the hour of darkness, that Satan was going to be ruling, and Satan had already filled the heart of Judas to turn him over to the hands and to rebel against him, turning him over to the leaders. And Jesus was praying, and he woke up, and the disciples were sound asleep. And he woke him up. He says, "Can't you watch with me? Watch and pray that you don't fall into temptation." Satan was abound. So Paul picks that up, and the other early people, writers in the church, pick that up as well. Watch out. You can note satanic activity as it comes along. He will utilize events. He will utilize thought patterns and everything in order to create conflict, in order to destroy. And you can sense this coming. And the best thing to do is watch, and when you do, go to prayer, because you need God's intervention. None of us can fight Satan himself. Only God can do that. So watching is very, very important. And then standing firm in the faith. The Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9, "For the devil, your adversary, roams around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith?" One thing Satan wants to go after, he wants to cause us to waver in our faith in the Lord. But if we remain firm in the faith, then Satan actually flees because we're trusting the word of God. It's very, very important to stay firm in the faith to offset angelic conflict. That Paul's readers not suffer satanic defeat in interpersonal conflicts. So remember, Satan is there, and he wants to create conflict, especially between believers. You've got to watch out for that. And then the calls to act like men and be strong were achieved by trusting the Lord and relying on the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit to fulfill and to function well in interpersonal conflicts. This comes up in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 1, "Therefore be strong in the Lord." And the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 to 14, Paul's implies the need to rely upon the gift that God has given us, the calling that God has given us, all these things in order to handle these conflicts. Number two, Paul urged his readers to show love in all things. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 14. "One can become defensive and divisive because of interpersonal conflicts, but godly love retains a commitment to other believers." Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. The Apostle Paul takes the word truth and he makes a verb out of it. He says, "But truthing in love, that we may grow up into him in all things." It's extremely important that in the church especially we be honest and truthful and candid in teaching the word and in ministering and relating to one another. If we are honest, And we have godly love, it really does a lot to restrain conflicts that arise. And then Paul repeatedly emphasized the value of believers helping each other in the Lord. And 1 Corinthians 16, 17 to 21, verses 22 to 24, talks about the help of Stephanus and Fortunatus, and Fortunatus, the household of these people. He talks about being refreshed by Aquila and Priscilla, and all the brethren greet you, greet one another with a holy kiss. In those days, they would kiss on the cheek, on the left cheek, and on the right cheek like that. That's comparable to our shaking hands. Give them the right hand of fellowship. That's how we do in our culture. We don't kiss people. We shake hands. So you can essentially you can translate that greet one another with a warm handshake. That's all he's saying. Then the salutation would be Paul with my own hand. So it's very important for us repeatedly to watch out for angelic conflict, to stand firm in the faith, rely on the power of God, and then we're supposed to love. Make sure love is something that is on the top, and that we seek to be helpful. It's always helpful to seek to be helpful, especially in a church setting. that can nullify a lot of tendencies for conflict. Paul sought to be helpful to Apollos. In 1 Corinthians, the people were saying that Apollos was better than Paul and so forth. Paul did not let that get between him and Apollos. Even though the people were favoring Apollos over him, and even though Paul had led him to Christ, he was anxious for Apollos to come. You know, he wasn't threatened at all by Apollos' appearance. And that's a wonderful attitude to have. Here he's an apostle. He's being kind of upstaged because of the gifting of Apollos. He doesn't mind. Apollos can help these people? Fine, let's go. Wonderful attitude that Paul had. So it's very important to be helpful. The lesson is, in addressing various interpersonal conflicts in the ministry, Paul urged that they be handled by the believer's spiritual sturdiness in the faith, by godly love, and by helping other believers in the Lord. So may we use a sturdy faith, a godly love, and help each other to handle interpersonal ministry conflicts. Okay, we'll open it up for feedback or questions that you have. If there's an issue of concern or interest that you wanted to deal with in what we've covered this morning, that's fine. If there's something else that has come up and you want to address that, we'll seek to address that using Scripture as we go forward. Yes, Jim.